You guys can sit down. Thank you. Cool. Thanks, Pastor Ben. Before I speak tonight, we're just going to receive our offering. So I just wanted to read out of Malachi 3 verse 10. It says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it." I love this scripture, and I think I've used it before, but it's so relevant, and I think it's so good as a reminder because there's a promise when we give. And I love that in this, it actually says to test the Lord in it. I love that we can actually test God with our finances. When we give, we can test him and know that he's going to come back with it. It says that he'll test him in it, and he'll pour out the floodgates. He'll pour out the floodgates to when we can't even hold it anymore. I love that when we give in faith, he actually responds to our giving. There's a blessing that's guaranteed. So if you've got your giving, we're just going to receive the offering. Why don't you hold that in your hand? And I'm just going to pray. Lord, I thank you for this house, God. I thank you for every person giving tonight, God. And I thank you that when we give, Jesus, there's a promise when we give. There's a promise that says that you'll actually pour out a blessing, God. When we fill your storehouse, God, you're actually filling ours as well. Amen. Amen. Before I speak, we've just got a video. Why don't you turn your eyes to the screen? Cool. What we're doing as a youth ministry is we've actually replaced our youth camp. We normally run youth camps in January. But what we're doing is we're believing big things this year, and we're actually running a youth festival. And I guess a lot of the questions that I've got so far are what's the difference? And what we're doing is we're doing a full bump in. We're not hiring a hall. We're not hiring accommodation. We're literally going on pretty much just a block of land. We're setting up our own perimeter fencing and all of that and camping zones. Outdoor eating areas, outdoor entertainment like stage and stuff, a big pavilion marquee. It's literally one day there'll be a field and the next day there'll be tons of stuff going on, and we're just believing it's going to be awesome. We've seen our young people go to all these festivals and music festivals and stuff going on, and we really felt that we want to do something and take something back for the kingdom. We want to actually do something that our young people are wanting, but actually showing them how to do it well. We want to do a Christian festival, one that's alcohol and drug free, and one that's actually choosing to seek first the kingdom of God over all else. So we're doing that in October. Our registration's open Friday. If you're a young person, if you register in the top three, you get a free hoodie, which is pretty cool. It opens 6 p.m. But can I challenge you, church, get on board with this. Our young people, we're believing that lives will be changed at this camp. So if you can be praying with us, but if you can do more than that and also give, would love you to sponsor someone. It's still in October, so there's months leading up to it. But if you're willing, you can go on our website and there's actually an option to sponsor someone, which I think is really cool. So feel free to start thinking over that for the next few months. Next week, we have Nick V preaching. It is going to be awesome. We have him Saturday night for a youth rally. It is $10 online. I think it's boomnight.com. You can pre-register there, or you can pay at the door, but it's $12 at the door. It is going to be phenomenal. This place is going to be packed with young people, and we're believing for an awesome night. We also have them Sunday morning here, and it's going to be great. That one's obviously totally free. It's church for us, but it's a combined service with Pimpamar, and it's just going to be an awesome time. And we're also going into our 21 days of breakthrough next week. It's going to be phenomenal. It's going to be awesome. Last year, we had a number of our youth participate in it. And I remember one of our girls came up to me, and I think this was after the first week, so it hadn't even finished yet. And she said, I've been totally healed of anxiety. I haven't felt any anxiety over the last couple of days, and it's only just the beginning. And I love that. That was faith and that was breakthrough in that moment, but it took an action. So we're going to start our breakthrough next week. Sunday night is going to be the beginning, and I believe it's going to be an awesome night, so make sure you don't miss it. Cool. Announcements are done, so let's start. This is a youth takeover. So when I was planning this message, it reminded me a little bit of my school days. And I'm not much of an academic. I like to think I'm very smart, but I'm not necessarily the smartest. But what my mum would always tell me, and she's here tonight with my dad, so hey. But what my mum would always tell me is, you never applied yourself. And that was kind of harsh, but probably relatively true. But I've done a bit of a PowerPoint tonight because PowerPoints are cool. And I was reminded of a specific moment in school. And if you're in school now, the thing you should do when you get an assignment is kind of plan out like a rough plan on what you're going to do, how you're going to, like when your workloads are going to spike so you're not doing it the night before. This is kind of what you should do. You get the paper, you work it out, some smaller nights at the beginning, maybe one big one at the end, but it's kind of evenly spread. This was mine in school. Yeah. Can anyone relate? Like uni, all the adults are quiet, but we know they do them at work as well. Yeah, but it came to this one paper, and have you heard that grade 11's harder than grade 12? I'm an advocate for that because this really spoke to me. In grade 11, we had an assignment on the Great Gatsby, and I'm not much of a reader, and this assignment was to write, like to read the book and compare it with the movie. Loved the movie part, the book not so much. And look, what happened was, it was a big assignment. We got it week one, and it was due week 10. So I knew this one was going to not fit into the normal way of doing it for me. I knew I wasn't going to be able to get it done. So what I did was a new plan. I kind of, you know, little steps. Like if they're little steps, you'll make it all the way. Needless to say, the first few weeks went by and I had an updated plan. A few more weeks went by and I had an updated plan. Another week went by and I had an updated plan. And I think one more week went by and I had an updated plan. And then it was about 3 days before the assignment. Yeah. And that's where we were at with my workload. It was quite a dramatic turn of events when I spent a lot of time over the next 3 days asking a lot of friends what I should be writing about. I still had not completed the novel, and nor was I even going to attempt it at this point. So you do the skim reads and you read all the like summarized versions online. So I did a lot of quick study over the next few nights, and I handed in that assignment. I got it in on time. It was all good. And the following week, my English teacher pulled me aside and she told me it was the best assignment they've ever got. No, that didn't happen. It definitely didn't happen. Unfortunately, it wasn't the worst though, so that's good, but it definitely wasn't the best. And the reason I share this story is because we're going to be talking in a little bit about the kingdom tonight. And the thing about the kingdom is you can't put off the kingdom. As believers, we actually need to seek first the kingdom. In Matthew 6:33, which is, you would have seen it before in that video, that's what we're basing our camp around. It says, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness and all things will be given to you. Some context in this, a few verses before, it says, do not worry about what you will eat. Do not worry about what you will drink. And it even compares it to the birds. It says the birds do not store up for tomorrow and even God looks after them. How much more is he going to look after you? And then it tells us your priority is seek first the kingdom. And so many other times in scriptures, it goes through when all throughout the gospels, it says, seek first the kingdom. The kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is coming. In John 18, verse 36, it says, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." Kingdom is mentioned so many times, so clearly it has some importance. So if we're meant to be citizens of this kingdom as people of God, then we should know a little bit about it. So tonight, I'm speaking on three things we should know about the kingdom of God. Now, the first one is the kingdom is not always what you expect. And maybe you need to change your thinking. Now, probably 2 years ago now, it was a while ago, but I remember walking into a cafe, and I think of myself as a little bit of a coffee connoisseur. I'm not that good at it, but I like to think I am. I like to taste like the textures in the milk, the like how strong the coffee is, the flavors from Madagascar and stuff. Yeah, it exists. No, but I love to see it. And I went into this cafe and I'm like, you know how you judge it by like the aesthetics first? If it doesn't look cool, the coffee's probably not good. It was probably like a 50-50 cafe. So I was like, okay, I'll do something simple. Let's go with an iced latte. Now, if anyone's a barista, iced lattes are not that hard. It's a shot of coffee, it's a bit of ice, and it's some cold milk. Like, you can't burn the milk, you can't overdo it, you can't underdo it. Like, you just pour the shot. Now, what I received was different to what I expected. What I received was a shot of coffee, some warm milk, and some ice cubes in it. They had literally made me a latte and put ice in it. And that was their definition of an iced latte. It was disgusting. And the thing is, I think when we talk about kingdom, we often put these boxes around it. We put in these expectations that we have. But the thing about the kingdom is it's not always what we expect. But God actually does it better. God's actually planned this kingdom for us. Therefore, we should live for it. I want to actually take a look back at the Jewish people a little bit. More specifically around the time just before Jesus comes. And the Jewish people, they went through a lot of history. They were a persecuted group. They went through a lot of tough times. They went through hardships. But they were also faithful. They heard different prophecies like in Micah it talks about, "But you, brethren of Bethlehem, though you are a small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will rule over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." And in Daniel, it says, "In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man coming from the clouds of heaven." There's these prophecies of this Messiah coming, and these Jews who had been through such hard times, they were optimistic for this Messiah. They were actually believing for it. And look, they had lived through persecution for years and years. They lived through hard times. And even when they were in the Roman Empire, which is pretty much when Jesus was coming, and it wasn't necessarily the worst, but they'd never known true freedom. And I think it's such an interesting take when it's these Jews expected something, but it definitely wasn't the Jesus that they got. From these scriptures, you can hear things like he'll rule over Israel. And he did, but it definitely wasn't how they expected. These Jews expected a God to come, this Messiah, their savior, and to overthrow the government. They expected this Jesus to come and lead a war that they would win and be victorious. But yet that wasn't the Jesus they got. The thing about it, though, is it's really cool for the Jews. They got someone so different, but it was so worth it. It was so worth it for the Jews because they only knew persecution and war. If a war had started when the Messiah had come, what would have changed? But yet our Jesus brings freedom. Our Jesus brings peace. Our Jesus brings justice. Our Jesus brings a love attitude. And I love that because the fact is the Jews didn't get the Messiah they wanted. They got the Messiah that they needed. And the fact is the kingdom for us, it may not be what we expect, but it's actually what we need. My second point, which I kind of just touched on, but the kingdom is full of love, grace, mercy, and peace. Now, a few years ago, I traveled to Disneyland in Paris. I was there with my cousins. It was a fun experience. Who's ever heard that Disneyland is the happiest place on earth? I'm actually a pretty big advocate for that. Now, if you know me well, I've got kind of like a resting, like unimpressed face. Like, I'm not that impressed all the time, but when something impresses me, you'll know it. And I was standing in Disneyland and literally from when I walked in, I was like, this is kind of cool. Like, even the cleaners are smiling and joyful. And like the point that I realized this there was when like the parade was going past and someone's like, literally, I think it was my sister turned to me and she's like, "You're smiling." Heavy. But at that point I was like, I am, like, this is fun. And Disneyland is a fun place. As Christians, we should be filled with joy. We should be filled with fun. We should be love-filled. We should be love-giving. The kingdom of God is full of love, grace, mercy, and peace. The fact is, when the Jewish people received Jesus, it's funny because he came so different. They expected a God of war, yet he didn't throw one stone. They expected someone to kill their enemies, but yet he says, love your enemies, pray for those that persecute you. I love that. The scripture is, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. Do not do good to them that hate you and pray for them which persecute you. It truly is a kingdom of love, grace, mercy, and peace. And the fact is, I love that if we look back to those Jewish people, some people didn't expect it and they didn't accept it. But yet the people that didn't expect it and opened their eyes, they received something much greater, something so beyond this earth, like John was saying. The thing is, this kingdom, it's not of this earth. It's one of love, one of joy, one of mercy, one of peace. And when the Jewish people engaged it, and it's actually better, I know I'm speaking about the Jews a lot, but the fact is it actually is open to all of us. And the fact is when Jesus did that act, when he actually came down and when he decided not to throw the stone, when he decided to actually pray for everyone, to actually bless them, it actually enabled us. When he did the act on the cross, it actually meant that this kingdom was for all of us. It was for everyone. And the impact went far beyond this one people group and actually went into all the world. The fact is this kingdom is full of love, mercy, grace, and peace. And the fact is maybe you've had a life where you've really struggled with that concept, where you've really struggled with the world and how everything seems to be against you or how everything goes wrong. And you've had all these ups and downs, and whenever something starts looking good, you know it's not going to last. But the fact is, when you're all part of the kingdom, when you are a citizen of heaven, you know that the best is yet to come. You know that there is love all around you. You know that there is grace, there is peace, and there is hope. It is a kingdom of hope. It is a kingdom of love, of mercy, and of peace. I love that we're moving to Logan Village because no one else is there. And I love that when we talk kingdom, I love that in the scriptures. It's funny because Jesus said the kingdom is coming or the kingdom is at hand. And it was like, well, which is it? Is it here or is it coming? And I love that because it's constantly moving. It is constantly establishing itself. It is constantly expanding. And as we plant a church and a school in Logan Village, we are expanding the kingdom. We are taking territory. And the fact is, our kingdom is full of love, mercy, grace, and peace. But when we go there, we're taking that message with us. And as we speak to the people in that community, they're going to embrace it because it is different. It is not of this world. It is not of the things that we have understood. And I love that. Even yesterday, as we elected a Pentecostal prime minister, we're establishing kingdom. Our kingdom is expanding. Our territory is growing. And the fact is, it's that message of grace, love, mercy, and peace that we're taking. My third point is the kingdom is for everyone. Literally this Friday night just passed, we did a big night because we were launching Seekers Festival, and we invited everyone. We gave away some gift vouchers to stuff, some prizes. We had our big obstacle course out, the inflatable and stuff, and we actually had a bunch of kids come from Mudjabar State High, which is awesome. First time at youth, first time in a church environment, and yet they came. And their first question was, how much does it cost? And we're like, it's free. And they couldn't believe it. They're like, why is something like this free? And I love that because our kingdom is actually for everyone. And yes, you have to make a conscious decision, but it's for everyone. Anyone has access to it. Anyone can say yes. In Luke 14, verse 16 to 23, and I think this one will be on the screen, Jesus replied, This is a parable. Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I just bought a field and I must go see to it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you have ordered of me has been done, and there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house is full. Can I get the keys up? I love that scripture. I think that's awesome. Because isn't it such a good picture of the heart of God? Isn't that great? Like, he's literally saying, if they don't want it, someone else will. Like, go. Like, bring people in. There's room. There's room for everyone. There's room for whoever is willing to accept it. I love that. And he sends people out and he says, go into the streets, get the cripples, get the people who can't speak, get the deaf, get the mute. Like, I love that. Jesus gives this parable of, and it's two ways. It's one that everyone's welcome, but it's two that there's a challenge on us. And I think if we believe that this kingdom is expanding, as we learn about this kingdom, there's actually a responsibility on us that we actually need to pass on this message. This message that this kingdom is one full of grace, of love, grace, hope, and peace. We actually have an obligation as Christians to do that. But the fact is, Jesus died on a cross and it was a sacrifice that moved mountains. It was completely, completely radical. And we look at it 2,000 years ago and it is a life-changing thing. The fact that we're even here is amazing. 2,000 years ago, one religious figure changed the world. And I love that. And what he did was he didn't choose to be the guy on a throne, and he is on a throne, but he didn't choose to be on a worldly throne and just making everyone a slave or making everyone just like a follower or a peasant or and have higher classes and all of that. But no, he chose to sit on a heavenly throne. He chose to be the King of all kings. He chose to establish his kingdom with us, one where there wouldn't be pain, one where there wouldn't be, there is persecution, but one where there is freedom as well. He chose to establish his kingdom here and he gave it to his people and he said, now build it, now go, now establish it. And I love that. But tonight I want to give an opportunity for anyone who may not find themselves a part of that kingdom. Because the fact is he's opened the doors. There's still room because anyone is welcome. So can I get every eye closed and head bowed in this place? And I just want to give an opportunity. The fact is that he sent the messengers. You've made it here, and that's awesome. But the fact is that people still needed to accept the invitation to come. And I'm proposing an invitation to you tonight. Maybe you don't know God. Maybe you don't know this Jesus figure who brought love, mercy, grace, and peace. But tonight you can. Tonight you can actually have the opportunity to meet him personally. He's not a distant God. He's actually personal. So if that's you, why don't you just raise your hand while no one else is looking? Awesome. Awesome. Cool. You guys can open your eyes. Now, the other group, I want to put out a challenge. And this challenge is for believers because I believe that we're meant to take this kingdom forward. We're meant to advance it. That's why I love the heart of our church, to go into areas where people are not at. We could easily plant a church in central Brisbane, but there's people there and they're doing an awesome job. But we chose to go to a hard area. And yet we're going to build a church there that will be the light of that area, that will be a community sanctuary that people can come, that people can feel loved, where people can find a home. We're going to go and do that. But as believers, I think we need to take the call up to do it in our workplaces. I think we need to do it to take the call up in our grades, in our schools, in our universities, in our wherever we go. I think we need to be kingdom people. We need to know what the kingdom is. We need to be citizens of that. And we need to take that message of love, grace, hope, and peace with us, with everything. So what I'm going to do is, and look, I actually just really feel that we just need to worship and we need to make a conscious decision. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to open up the altar, and I don't think we actually need to lay hands on you, but I'm just going to say by walking out, you're actually making a conscious decision that where I go, I'm a representative of the kingdom. And that means I'm a representative of the message of the kingdom. So why don't we stand and I'm going to challenge you. Why don't you come out the front and just worship? Why don't you come out the front and just say, yes, that's me. I want to represent the kingdom with all that I am and with everything that I am, just like Jesus chose to do on that cross. If that's you, like, why don't you just come out and worship? We're going to go through this song. Thanks, team.